Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008. This morning, we are joined by Akiva Spiegelman, Media and Foreign Affairs Advisor, to unpack one of the most pressing issues and questions facing Israel and the war today. As the military campaign against Hamas continues, President Isaac Herzog has called for courage and careful planning for what comes next in Gaza. The challenge is enormous. How does Israel prepare for the day after? Hamas balancing urgent security needs with political, diplomatic, and humanitarian considerations that will shape the region's future. Akiva, very, very good morning. Thank you for joining us. President Herzog spoke about the importance of courage and careful planning for Gaza's future. What do you think he means by this?
So, unfortunately, I think he doesn't have any concrete plan, nor does almost nobody else. We've heard of President Trump raising ideas of the day after. But right now, Israel is obviously focused on guaranteeing the security of its people and preparing, as it seems, to enter Gaza. But unfortunately, at this time, we know that the Palestinian state is very weak and they won't be able to carry the load when necessary. Hamas is still very much in power there and have no intention of letting that go. They've been controlling the humanitarian areas. They've been controlling where the food goes. And so we can only really start addressing that once we have a clean area from terrorism. And so it's unfortunate, but yes, that's the issue right now.
Wouldn't it be helpful for people? One of the criticisms that I read or heard somewhere was that people could endure all sorts of things if they know what the plan is, not just the goal. And we know the goal is obviously bring back the hostages, get rid of Hamas. That's the goal. But without a vision for what is going to be, surely it makes things much more difficult, not just for Israel, but the people around the world, therefore placing pressure on Israel.
Of course, if a line would be planned out and lined out in a manner that people could understand and really see what's happening in Gaza right now, it would be easier for us to talk about the day after, since people here are very much preoccupied with just making sure that the people are secure, that the soldiers are secure, that we do everything we can to bring back the hostages. That's what's really been dominating the news cycle here. It's all about the hostages, when they return, how they will return, what kind of deal we're looking for, what kind of exchange needs to be happening, what kind of incentives needs to be given. And that's been so preoccupying us. Again, we've heard different countries offering different ideas. Even there was somebody threw an idea of having UAE soldiers on the ground, which is not realistic. And this is where the challenge is, keeping it between realism and reality. And right now, because of things that are much more important to us, which is obviously getting the hostages back home and guaranteeing the safety, it's hard to address that. There is talk about sovereignty now, which I think is another negotiation tactic, but it's something that we need to keep an eye on. And once we get to common ground, again, where everything goes back to before October 7th and more, even more silence from the Hamas side, only then can we really address what could happen the day after.
From a security perspective, what are the biggest risks for Israel that Israel needs to anticipate in a post-Hamas Gaza?
Who takes the reign after them? Like I said, the Palestinian state has been very weak. Mahmoud Abbas is also, he's aging, and his replacement is nowhere in sight. And even then, we've seen Palestinian Authority forces not guaranteeing the safety, not enforcing security, not stopping terrorism on their side. And so it's very difficult to say what the outcome can be. We need a real partner. We haven't had a partner in a long time. And so once a real partner emerges, and that's not a partner that's to be released from prison, people have been naming Barghouti as a replacement, but he's a terrorist with blood on his hands. And we can't allow a person like that to be in charge of an entity that's supposed to live side by side by Jews. And so once a partner is confirmed, whether it's from one of the other more moderate Arab countries who are willing to actually work with us, might be Morocco, UAE, even Saudi Arabia, were to bring in a character who's willing to coexist per se with Israel, I think then we'd have ground to talk on. Right now, with no partner, it's very difficult to try to anticipate who can take power after Hamas.
So is there a scenario where regional actors, maybe partly the Palestinian Authority, Egypt, the Gulf states, step in to play this role?
I think there is. I think the Abraham Accords were a magnificent feat by Israel and the Arab countries that actually put the Palestinian issue aside, and that's why they were able to succeed. These entities see power. And Israel came from a position of power to say, we're here, we're willing to work, we're looking for peace, economic revolution even between the countries. And it's worked. Throughout the war, the UAE has been mostly cooperative, open to Israelis, and open to cooperation. It's hard to say that about a lot of the rest of them. Morocco is still, it's always been a bit edgy with them. Qatar has we have a big issue with them right now, as they have been the home to the leaders of Hamas. And so we need to find the Arab countries who are willing to move forward with us and not try to bring in people who we can't trust or looking to harm Jews. And I think there is hope for maybe Saudi Arabia to at some point join the Abraham Accords and move forward with us in order to make a new middle or true New Middle East.
The sense that certainly I have is that the world and even Israel has gone very easy on Qatar. There's little doubt that had they pressurized Hamas from the get-go, things could have been very, very different. Why is it you think that there is this very sensitive dealing with them?
I think Qatar is a very strong player. They also have a lot of funds. And throughout this war, there has been some criticism from some of the ministers asking for their responsibility as well. We've worked to shut down Al Jazeera, which was actually endangering our forces. There was even a call by a journalist named Amichai Atali a few weeks ago when there was a big protest in Israel to release the hostages. And he said, why don't we go protest in front of the Qatar embassy in Israel? Why don't we go protest in front of their global embassies? Make them accountable for what's going on, knowing very well that they are a player who's been involved in this from the get-go. And Israel has been, obviously, we're very careful about how we address other nations because we see how they address us. It's not a two-way street as we see it. We've seen different calls from countries calling for a Palestinian state, which is a reward for terror. But we're trying to work it with the diplomatic means that we can. If push comes to shove and we need to, then I'm sure Prime Minister Netanyahu and others will voice their criticism of Qatar, which they have at times. I agree with you, not enough, knowing what they've done and how much they've been involved. Right now, they've been mediating, per se, with the hostage deal. Again, I don't think so successfully. I don't know if they really have their full heart in it. But yes, we need to hold them accountable. It's a question of diplomacy, of how to do it the right way and keeping them still on the table.
Finally, Akive, if you were the decision maker here in looking at the next stage or Gaza's future, what do you think the most important principle is that Israel should keep front in mind?
I think the most important principle is to not provide a Palestinian state as an answer to October 7th. When you provide incentives for terror, there is no doubt that it'll happen again and again and again. And we've seen it. October 7th was a direct ability of these forces to move forward and do what they did. And it was atrocious. And to gift atrocities with a state would be a grave mistake, not just for Israel, but for the entire Western civilization. We've seen what's been happening in France, in London, in Belgium. All these countries have been calling for a Palestinian state. Also, Australia, Canada, they've had much more anti-Semitism since October 7th. They were prepared. We see the camps as well. That's also Qatar money. That's another issue. But we cannot allow a Palestinian state as a response for October 7th. In the future, possibly, when Hamas is no longer in power and there's a real partner, then we can start debating about the even ability to handle a Palestinian state. But right now, to give a Palestinian state would be a reward for terror, which we just cannot allow.
Absolutely. That is where we leave it. Thank you, Akiva Spiegelman, media and foreign affairs advisor, talking about the day after. Courage and careful planning is what President Herzog, Isaac Herzog, has called for. What does that mean?